You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everybody. 3 years after Katrina and in the middle of an election campaign and with hurricanes or tropical storms, at least, offshore affecting oil prices, we thought it was a good time to ask the question, are we more prepared for what Katrina did 3 years ago today than we were then? We certainly weren't very prepared then. 877-8-MY-TAKE is a place to register your opinion and your view about that. Also, mytake@thetakeaway.org. Meanwhile, in a disturbing and apparently direct response to NATO in the West, Russian President Dmitry Medvedev is holding talks today with his Chinese counterpart Hu Jintao in Tajikistan. The Russian president says China and four Central Asian republics have expressed understanding for Russia's actions in Georgia and said the united position will send a serious signal to those trying to justify what he calls Georgia's aggression. Meanwhile, seven Western countries, including the United States, issued a joint statement condemning Russia's decision to recognize Georgia's breakaway regions of South Ossetia and Abkhazia. Joining us now is BBC defense correspondent Rob Watson from Bush House in London. Rob, thanks for joining us.
Morning, John.
And this Shanghai Cooperation Council organization that is really the backdrop here looks disturbingly like a direct counterpart to NATO here. Is that how you're reading it?
Well, it was set up in 2001 as something of a counterweight to NATO, no doubt about that, with Russia and China as the driving forces. But I don't think that I think what you've been hearing from Dushanbe is a bit of spin from the Russians, because I don't think it's been the case that the Shanghai Cooperation Organization has swung in behind Moscow in terms of how it's dealt with Georgia. I mean, after all, you've got to remember that a lot of the members of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, let's call it the SCO, shall we, particularly China, they have huge separatist problems of their own. So a lot of them were a little bit nervous about what Russia did in Georgia.
Do you think that that Medvedev is attempting to project military cooperation in these agreements, or more a ring of sympathetic regimes as a kind of political buffer to the West?
I think more generally it's the latter, because this is this particular meeting and gathering hasn't just sprung out of Georgia. It's something that's been going on for about 7 years now, and by and large it was set up definitely with Russia as the driving force, as a kind of a counterweight, a political and diplomatic counterweight, not an alternative military bloc. I mean, you have to understand NATO is a very, very serious military alliance with very serious military rules, with a huge amount in common between the members militarily, diplomatically. The SCO is not like that.
Nevertheless, Rob, if Medvedev would have achieved, as a result of all this, a vivid demonstration that there are sympathetic, essentially pro-Moscow regimes ringing the borders of Russia, that would be a significant accomplishment, wouldn't it not?
True, but I think there's a slightly separate issue here. I mean, if you're talking, I don't think that in any way the Shanghai Cooperation Organization could be compared to NATO. It's simply not as united in purpose or ideology or history or anything else like that. But on the other hand, if you're talking about Russia's attempts to exert influence over its near abroad, and in particular the former members of the Soviet Union, well, that's a different matter. And in a way, that's what this whole crisis that we're in now is all about. We're not talking about a new Cold War. After all, Moscow isn't trying to spread some kind of ideology globally, but what it is doing is reasserting itself in general on the world stage, but more particularly in its backyard. And the question is, of course, well, what is the West going to do about it?
Well, Medvedev actually addresses that point directly in a speech that he gave in Dushanbe. Here's an excerpt. Listen.
We are sure that the position of members of Shanghai Cooperation will produce an appropriate response. I hope our position will send a serious signal to those who are trying to present black as white and justify the aggression.
Rob, what do you think the appropriate response from the West is that Medvedev either anticipates or would be appropriate in this case?
Well, I think what he's doing there is a bit of spin. I mean, he's trying to say to the West that that countries like China and the other members of the SCO, such as Uzbekistan, etc., are kind of more behind what Russia has done than they actually are. So I do think that there is a certain element of spin here. I mean, after all, no country that I'm aware of has recognized Russia's decision to recognize Abkhazia and South Ossetia as independent states. Certainly no members of the SCO, and certainly no other countries that I can think of.
Rob, let's step back. Just wondering, from the time that the Russian incursion into Georgia began through to these meetings with the Chinese, it almost feels like a very well laid out plan on the part of the Russians.
Well, I certainly think that as far as this particular meeting in Dushanbe is concerned, I think it may well be just one of the regular groupings that they hold. I mean, the other point that you raise has this whole issue of the way Russia dealt with Georgia. Was it something that they had up their sleeves, that it was part of a plan to reassert itself in its near abroad, as it's known? Well, that is the allegation that's been made against Moscow, particularly by the Georgians, but also in Washington.
Well, Rob, certainly Medvedev has managed to turn this whole obscure issue of these two breakaway republics into a way of really reasserting Russia, at least in some capacity. And even if it only affects former Soviet republics, it certainly changes the game board that we were looking at even as recently as 2 weeks ago.
Absolutely. Look, I think although there's a lot of talk in the media about a new Cold War, that goes too far, because again, you know, Russia isn't trying to spread its ideology as it was in the Cold War period. But I mean, quite clearly, what you're seeing is the sort of, I don't know, the crumbling of the post-Cold War architecture that has existed in Europe since the early 1990s. I mean, there is definitely a sense that is crumbling, and that the stability that we've seen in Europe just isn't there, that you're seeing a Russia that's much more assertive, not just in its own backyard, but beyond, and that is something that the West is now grappling with. And really, the West now faces a choice, doesn't it? And that is, to what extent do we push back against Russian reassertiveness in its near backyard, in its own backyard, or is there some way in which we just accept that it's either understandable that Moscow wants to reassert itself in the former Soviet Empire, and that even if you don't think that it's particularly understandable, it's unlikely unstoppable?
Rob Watson, thank you very much. A great question, and it is the question. Rob Watson, defense correspondent for the BBC, speaking to us from Bush House in London. And now headlines from Femi. Okay, quickly.
Thank you very much, John. 29 minutes past the hour.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.